down, 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 down.
Hey, welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, January 17th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Jared Petty, alongside the pureed one,
that's me,
Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. We're having some audio issues, if you couldn't tell. Kevin couldn't get the intro audio music to play, so Jared was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself. I don't know if you noticed. Maybe you thought that was the actual intro.
That's our new intro theme song. I'm kind of mad at myself. I got the timing a little off there. Yeah. I was hoping I could nail it.
But it was good. I liked it. I like your shirt a lot, too.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, actually, I've had the shirt for a long time. Right before Star Wars The Force Awakens came out, Angie, the month before, bought me 7 Star Wars shirts. One for every day of the week.
Okay.
And I wore them rotating days for a month before I came on. This is one from that.
That
batch.
That's great. Got that. Did you call it something fun?
No, I did
not. Season of the Force or something.
I did not have a cool name for it. Do you remember those halcyon days before Force Awakens came out? We were all wide eyed and full of wonder about what might take place.
It's crazy. I feel like we're in that now for Endgame.
Did you enjoy TFA?
Marvel. Oh, yes. Yeah. Of course. Oh, my God.
And now we're in that with Endgame. You're right. Wow. Here, moving in to like phase 9 or whatever the heck they're on now.
Hey, we're closing out phase 3, baby.
Phase pi.
Phase 4 on the way.
Lots of phasing happening here. If you didn't know it, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, the show where we bring you the news that you want to know from video games each and every weekday. If you want to be part of what's going on here, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And if you join us at the bronze tier, you can take part in the show in all kinds of fun ways. He's got some housekeeping. First off, Greg's hosting the Star Trek Discovery Season 2 red carpet tonight, which is actually, I'm extremely jealous.
Pretty damn cool.
That's extremely cool.
Big moment for us here at Kinda Funny. Well, very, very proud of our boy.
Kinda elevated out there. He's traveled to far off New York City.
New York City on the red carpet.
Finally got there.
If I don't see an actual red carpet, I'm going to be pretty mad.
I think there's definitely going to be a red carpet there. Absolutely. By the way, Discovery, do you watch it?
I have not seen it yet.
Good show. Yeah. Real good
Nick
show.
Nick and Greg were pitching me on it on the Kinda Funny podcast this week.
I really like it. Ooh, they pitched it on there? I didn't hear that. All right. You can tune into facebook.com/StarTrekCBS. That's StarTrekCBS to see him and to chat it up with see him chat it up with the stars. Star Trek Discovery. Then you can catch Season 2 as it picks up with the USS Discovery crew answering a distress signal from the USS Enterprise. That's right, NCC 1701 Commander Christopher Pike.
Nerd.
The stream is live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time tonight on facebook.com/StarTrekCBS. The Season 2 of Star Trek Discovery premieres at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time exclusively on CBS All Access. Spoilers? What do you mean spoilers, Kevin?
And there's another cool thing going on. Tune in to twitch.tv/AndyCortez at 4 p.m. on Saturday. That's tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, to watch at Maximum Cortez play After Charge with the community. And if you want to play, join Andy's Discord server. Type #AfterCharge in the chat during this show here, Kinda Funny Games Daily on Twitch, for your chance to win a code on Xbox.
Oh, that's good.
And if you have Game Pass, it's free there too.
And you should watch that. You just should, because it's good. It's good to support Andy. Andy's good people. Today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare, but we will get to that later, because right now it's time for what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items.
A baker's dozen.
Came in a little early there, Kev.
He did. He's anxious. You know what? I appreciate the energy. Kevin, you just go on coming in a little early.
Baker's dozen.
A little premature. We know Kevin gets off premature, right? I mean, we know that's how it works here. Number one, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Ubisoft responds to DLC criticisms. This from Stephen Totilo at Kotaku. A day after apologizing for surprising Assassin's Creed Odyssey players with a mandatory in-game relationship that seemed to contradict the game's pre-release promise to let players define their own character's sexuality, the game's creative director offered a fuller apology and explanation of what his team was trying to accomplish and what they got wrong. Now, before we move forward in this article, we've redacted some things here to prevent spoilage. So
got it.
Okay. I don't think you need to be too afraid of that. We're trying to be a little careful around this.
Much appreciated, Jared.
Reading through player responses to our new DLC for Legacy of the First Blade, Shadow Heritage, we want to extend an apology to players disappointed by a relationship your character partakes in, Odyssey creative director Jonathan DeMault said in a post on the game's forum. The intention of this story was to explain how your character's bloodline has a lasting impact on the assassins, but looking through your responses, it's clear that we missed that mark. He went on to say, the players will not have to continue the romantic relationship in the next installment of the game's DLC, saying the developers wanted players to have the option of deciding that their character choice to procreate was a utilitarian decision rather than a romantic one. Mm. The plot development occurs at the end of the second chapter of a three-part paid expansion and constitutes a spoiler for those who haven't played the game. Spoiler redacted. This seems to contradict the repeated push by Odyssey's creators in advance of the game's October release to portray the game as an adventure so malleable that players could choose their own romantic partners, male or female. In a quote that's been given new life in the past day, DeMont had told Entertainment Weekly, "Since the story's choice-driven, we never force players into romantic situations they might not be comfortable with." In a statement yesterday, Ubisoft referred to the relationship twist as part of a set story and then hyped the next chapter of the DLC. Without spoiling it, you'll engage in an important relationship as part of a set story. The motivation behind this relationship is yours to explore in a game and will be reflected in your character's story arc. There's one episode left in Legacy of the First Blade, which will tie your character's actions together. Today, DeMont skipped past any spoiler worries and prototype and offered a clear explanation of what the team was or where the team was going, I believe it's meant. Again, more spoilers redacted. Continuing with DeMont's quote, our goal was to let players choose between a utilitarian view of ensuring your bloodline living on or forming a romantic relationship. We attempted to distinguish between the two, but we could have done this more carefully, as we were walking a narrow line between roleplay choices and story, and the clarity and motivation for this decision was poorly executed. As you continue the adventure in the next episode of Bloodline, please know that you do not have to engage in a lasting romantic relationship if you do not desire to. DeMont's statement continued, describing the last 24 hours as humbling. We've read your responses online, taken them to heart. This has been a learning experience for us. Understanding how attached you feel to your Cassandra and your Alexis is humbling. Alexios. And Alexios, pardon me. And is humbling. And knowing we let you down is not something we take lightly. We'll work to do better and make sure the element of player choice in Assassin's Creed Odyssey carries through our DLC content so you can stay true to the character you've embodied throughout. A Ubisoft rep confirmed to Kotaku the content of the second DLC will not be changed, but said the next chapter of the expansion will, quote, make the character development and choice much more clear to players. And that's where they'll be able to decide how to handle their relationship now that they've ensured their bloodline will continue. That was a long read, Tim.
A lot of the same things over and over and over.
Yeah, without, I wanted to make sure we provided proper context for the whole thing, so I hope we didn't beat a dead horse there.
I feel like it's pretty easily summed up here with transparency is great, people make mistakes and need to be allowed to take things back and change things and admit that they did something wrong, especially when they didn't have the intent to do something incorrectly. And having said that, I appreciate this a lot. I feel like transparency from developers as big as Ubisoft is really important. We always talk about on the show where these type of messages, an apology and doubling down and even like explain the apology even more, it's important. You know, I think it's a really positive message that a lot of other people can take notes on.
Well, I think a lot of people looked at this in the beginning. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is a game that seems to have a great sense of itself. It's super duper, however you want to put it, video gamey. It is a game that understands itself very well. It understands what works. Traveling from island to island, you know, picking people, hey, how you doing? You know, lots of exciting combat, this never-ending kind of loop of progression and growing and equipping up and et cetera at all. But it does seem to have represented a real fundamental misunderstanding on the part of the creators, almost a baffling misunderstanding and oversight when they look past this and forced you to do something that was so at odds with the rest of the game. And so at odds in a way that I think a lot of people understood it took something very special away from them that they had previously enjoyed about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can't undo what they did here. Mm-hmm. It's out there. It's done. When you screw up badly, and I do really believe this represents a bad screw up on an otherwise sterling video game, but I do think this was a real mistake that genuinely frustrated a lot of people justifiably. The best you can do is what you said. Ooh, oops, we will make that better and not do that again.
Yeah, and I don't think it's as egregious a mistake as it sounds like you do, just because I feel like they were looking at this totally from a story perspective and like they were trying to create the story that they wanted to have. But I feel like somewhere along the line, it wasn't until someone brought up like, hey, that's totally at odds with it. And it was like, oh, whoa, it is.
Well, for a lot of people, I think what made this game special, I'm not gay, but just being able to go through a story and be like, forget gay, forget straight, forget anything, I decide who I want to be with. And that's become in 90 hours with these characters, a hallmark of what I enjoy about this. I get to create my own path forward with these folks, however I want to do it. So few video games let you do that relationally. They'll let you do it with who you shoot. Mm-hmm. And they'll let you do that with who you rob. But it's very rare that they'll let you do that with who you choose to pursue an intimate relationship with. Yeah. That's not common. And so I do think this is a big deal because to take that, to remove that element from the game, to fundamentally shift away from something like that, took something special away. And I think that's why people are very upset.
Well, I think they're handling it correctly. And I think that it sounds like they're course correcting with the next DLC in the most appropriate way possible.
Yeah, I think so too. It's always good to see people. And this seems sincere. Obviously, marketing is marketing. But people that invest a lot of time and energy into a game, like a director, say, there's love there for what they've
especially
done.
Especially for a game screw that, up, that like, people love.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Especially for a game that's this big, that's this good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that they adore. I wish Greg were here for this one.
Yeah,
this is one of those like, man, I should just get Greg and Kevin up here to push us off the set and talk about the sexual exploits and romantic entanglements of the various characters.
I like that.
Kevin, who did you play in AC Odyssey?
Alexios.
You're Alexios. So are you? What's your take on hooking up when you travel the world?
Oh, as much as possible. You know what I mean?
Okay, is that where you're at? Yeah, just getting out there?
Yeah.
Okay, so I wondered about that. I think
you said get your seed out there.
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Get your seed?
You got to make sure that people can get the memories in the future, you know what I mean?
Okay. So you're a genetic pragmatist.
Sure.
At the service of humanity. All right. Number two, upcoming Sea of Thieves update will require players to download and reinstall the game from scratch.
Interesting.
This by Matt Kim of US Gamer. Yeah, I put this one in here because it's kind of odd. Rare announced a new improvement to Sea of Thieves that reduces the overall install size of the base game.
Okay.
Yep. The only problem is you're going to have to reinstall the full game when the update drops on February 6th. In a new video published by Rare today, Sea of Thieves executive producer Joe Neat announced an optimization update coming soon to Sea of Thieves. As Rare has published more and more content for Sea of Thieves, it's found the install size of the base game crawling up. So Rare figured out a way to keep Sea of Thieves' install size manageable, making it easier for Rare to deliver updates going forward. For the optimizations to take effect, players will need to download a larger than normal update on Wednesday, February 6th, where they'll have to download and reinstall the full game. While a new optimization update might not be as sexy as a content drop or DLC, it's an important improvement that'll hopefully make the whole Sea of Thieves experience smoother for players going forward. Neat promises significant improvements in how Rare tests and delivers content updates after the optimization effort. Plus, it's always nice to know that you're going to have a little more room on your console storage once Rare shrinks down the install size of Sea of Thieves. Kind of a weird one here.
It is a weird one. Has this ever happened before?
The moment I say it hasn't.
Counterpoint.com/you're wrong. Let us
know. I don't know. I simply don't know, but I've never seen a prominent story about it taking place.
Yeah, definitely. And again, we're in such a different landscape than we have ever been with video games where, you know, DLC has only been around now for 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like as you keep going, that's all changed and what these games are and downloading and streaming and everything that we're seeing.
Well, again, let's be clear. DLC has only been around for 15 years for the plebeians using consoles.
Okay.
Yeah, those of us from the old school have been dealing with it much longer.
Little horse. All right. This is interesting because it sounds like a very bad thing, and I'm sure it will be bad to a lot of people that have poor internet connections or need to worry about their, you know, downloading limits and all that, but this sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, right? Well, it could. No, you got some more space on your hard drive afterward, and apparently it's going to make it easier to make drops. My one thing here, I mean, Sea of Thieves has had some content delivery difficulties compared to maybe people's expectations for what ought to come out of a game like this. I don't know what your experience with Sea of Thieves is.
I had fun with it playing it at E3 one time, and then when we tried playing it here, it didn't work, so we gave up.
It's a neat video game that there have been some complaints that, hey, there's not enough to do. And obviously, they've been trying to match that and add to it. Kevin, did you play much of it?
I did not play it at all.
Okay, so they've been trying to match that. But as they've rolled more out quickly, things have not necessarily been as optimized as they could be. So I wonder if there's any folks out there grumbling, why isn't this just another content drop? And I think what they're trying to communicate here very clearly is this is to enable us to give you more content without breaking your Xbox.
Yeah, no. That's again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier about the transparency stuff. This is a weird thing to have to say, but I appreciate them being like, hey, this is going to make the experience better, so we're doing this. It's weird that it's required. I feel like optional could have been a way to handle this, but requiring it makes sure that across the board, everybody has the optimized version. So good on them, I say.
Favorite video game pirate, Tim?
Video game pirate?
Yeah, who's your favorite video game pirate?
Captain Jack Sparrow in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Oh, no kidding.
Probably. That. I don't know. I can't think of a pirate.
Okay, I figured maybe something from Wind Waker. I wasn't sure.
No.
Okay.
Although, I will say this, Jared, and I know I bring this up often, but I do know that for a fact your favorite video game of all time is Sid Meier's Pirates.
It is. It is indeed my favorite.
So who's your favorite pirate?
Well, Sid Meier's Pirates, ironically, is a sandbox game where you create your own pirate. So my own favorite pirate.
Is you?
Is me. That's right. Hardy har, yar, yar. We'll have
That was a twist, man.
We're going to have a pirate talk in the kitchen sometime. Like talk that. About how they spiced their punch with gunpowder. All kinds of amazing things.
Sounds safe.
Yeah.
Sounds bad for your belly.
Well, I mean, piracy was not safe. There was that
that's
part,
true,
too.
Number
three, Death Stranding. Kojima shows off 2 hours of the game privately. But this by Joey Scribbs at IGN.
Big Joey Scribbs.
That's right. I love Joey Scribbs. He's a good guy. You know that Joey Scribbs?
He has a made-up name. But
Joe Scribbles.
Yeah, that's right.
He's
hey,
a big fan
Barrett
of him. We
knows
met him
him
once.
Barrett Courtney. That's right.
He was playing Knack 2 at E3 when we met him.
As we all have yes, and dude. Should, right?
Knack is God, baby.
I hate Knack so much. All right, here we go. Hideo Kojima has shown off the first 2 hours of gameplay to developers at Horizon Zero Dawn studio Guerrilla Games. However, don't take that to mean it's ready for the rest of us yet. Kojima Productions, head of marketing and communications Aki Saito, makes clear the game isn't yet complete. Aki Saito says, showed the first 2 hours of gameplay to our Guerrilla brothers. Yes, Hideo was demonstrating it. The game is not fully completed. ... Yet.
Can I read the next part?
Absolutely.
Please.
Yep.
It's my favorite quote of all time. The picture shows the friendship between us. Keeps our mutual secrets here.
That's right. That's right. You gotta keep
gotta love it, dude. Keep those mutual secrets, baby.
You gotta keep those mutual secrets. You simply have to.
Does the picture show their friendship?
I mean, how could it not?
Yeah,
man. Right. I mean, that's it, right there. Just, everybody's together.
Gotta love
Rob
it.
Bound to, you know what? You gotta keep those mutual secrets sometimes. Mm-hmm. We keep mutual secrets here.
We do.
Occasion.
We do.
Gotta
do kind of it. Funny.
Guerrilla's Decima Engine, I don't actually know which how to pronounce that, is what powers Death Stranding, so it's no surprise that the Dutch devs would be among the first to see Kojima's work. It does leave the rest of us still guessing. Since the game's announcement, we've heard about his design philosophy featuring ropes and sticks and seen hints of gameplay in the trailer, but we still don't know what the moment-to-moment play will involve, or even if the game will arrive this year. Parker writes in. And says, hello, Jared and Tim. Happy belated birthday, Jared. Thank you, Parker. I hope it was as fabulous as you deserve. Actually, Angie was mostly just sneezing in the couch and hoping she would die because she's got a terrible cold. IGN is reporting the Guerrilla Games devs have seen the first 2 hours of Death Stranding at some unknown level of polish. Knowing now that at least the first 2 hours is on some level playable, do you think the public will see Death Stranding at all in 2019? And if so, where? Also, does this change at all your thoughts on if this is a PS4 or PS5 game? Have a great day, Parker. Tim Geddes.
I've been seeing a lot of hot takes on the internet talking about this whole tweet situation and people.
Something just crashed
up in the kitchen in there.
Something just broke behind that wall.
Trying to make ice coffee.
Hurricane Courtney, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, the sirens are on our end and so are the crashes.
Hey, you know what? I'm fucking right here. Okay.
Actually, there are
making
no sirens.
Pop Tarts.
I don't know if Cool Greg's doing shit in the back.
Oh, it's Cool Greg. Hurricane Cool Greg.
Cool Greg knocked this. And if you're hearing sirens, those are on your end. We don't actually have sirens on our end. I was just making that quote.
The thing with this.
No, I want to get a tattoo that says the sirens are on our end.
This implies that. So people are taking from this that only the first 2 hours of the game are done with this, like, where's the quote here? The game is not fully completed yet. I take it completely differently. They're talking about fully completed. I have a feeling this game is pretty far along.
Yeah.
At this point.
Expound.
I just think that the way that they're talking about, the way they're showing, they're just showing the first 2 hours.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that much, much more of the game is complete. And to answer Parker's questions here, will we see Death Stranding in 2019? Absolutely. If so, where? I don't know. With Sony not doing E3, I think that creates a really interesting situation where I can't imagine a world where PlayStation isn't finding somewhere to make big announcements.
Okay.
If they're not going to be at E3, we don't know if there's going to be a PSX this year. That's way too late, I think. I imagine that somewhere along the line, whether it's Paris Games Week or they just make their own random day.
Sony Fest!
That, yeah, like, who the hell knows? Like, yeah. I imagine we're going to have to see something like that this year.
A gathering of the Sony Play Nation.
Yes.
That's right.
So I think we see that. Does this change our thoughts on if it's a PS4 or PS5 game? No. I still think that it's going to be somewhere in the middle, where like Breath of the Wild style. But that's just me.
I think we see a trailer this year. I don't think that we see anything playable this year on this game. I don't think this game comes out this year, and I don't think that it's demoed publicly this year. Members of the press might play it behind closed doors, but I don't think we have any situation where it's on a show floor anywhere to be played publicly. Hmm.
I don't think they'll show this game again if it's not gameplay.
There'll be gameplay in the trailer. But I think it's going to be closer to that God of War trailer we got a couple years before God of War came out, where we see the opening act, Kratos walking around with his son, and it's vastly different than what comes out in the final game. But the fundamental storytelling is still there, but it's not nearly as pretty as it finally turned out to be.
I don't know.
I think that looking at the timeline, I'd be very surprised if this game's anywhere near ready for release. I think that they're in the stage right now where there's plenty of great level design coming together, and it's all very playable. But I think there is an enormous amount of polish that goes into a good Kojima game. And even though the game was announced many years ago, you know, don't forget that the first year probably of that process was just spent putting a team together. They built a studio from scratch for this. That takes forever. So it's not like they were sitting there working on the game at that point. They were just figuring out how to get the people and the tools together to make the game. It takes a long time to make anything this guy's ever worked on. And I think that he's going to take his time because he's got one shot to get this right. I don't think we see this game in a playable form till 2020.
Yeah, it's weird because we're already in 2019. So to say like, oh, it's going to be this year seems wrong. Like, it's like, oh no, there's no chance. But at the same time, like, I feel if this game's coming out in 2020, when would it come out? Because I imagine it would be somewhere in the February to April window.
The problem is, I think that's maybe when The Last of Us is coming out. I don't think they want to put them out right next to each other. I think you do one of two things with this game. I think it's either... if it's ready this winter, they would put it out. But I don't think it is. I think that you probably shoot Last of Us for spring and this for summer. Or very early fall.
Last of Us feels like a summer game to me.
Okay, well, then you do it the other way around. You release this in the spring and last... But I'm not sure this thing's going to be ready by spring even.
But then that's what I'm saying. So it's like, if it's not ready by this... If we're not seeing it by the end of this year playable, it's not coming next spring, which means it's not coming till the following spring.
If I'm them, I'm targeting this as a launch title at this point because this will help sell consoles.
Mm-hmm.
If they have that power, if the architectures are similar, as we suspect they are, and it can be done, you target this thing as a launch title at this point. Yeah. You make it a PS5. Make it the game that people run out to buy. What more compelling is early console sales are all about the hardcore audience. Mm-hmm. They're all about early adopters. What more compelling argument can you make? And Microsoft comes out, we got streaming, we got backward compatibility, we got Games Pass, we got a brand new, exciting, exclusive, a series you've never heard of. We got this exclusive from a studio you trust. It's brand new. You're going to love it. And so we have a next generation Hideo Kojima exclusive launching with our new console.
Yeah. I mean, they've said already that it's a PS4 game. So
yeah,
they can always change that. Everything can change. But I'm so interested in the PS5 and what it's going to be, and the next Xbox and what it's going to be, and the backwards compatibility and how that all works. And is there going to be PS5 games versus PS4 games? We'll have to see.
Spoilers.
Man.
It's a Transformer.
Yeah?
Yeah. It turns into a robot in your living room.
Oh, man.
It transforms back. You don't like that? You don't like Transformers?
Mm-hmm. I love Transformers. But like,
you know what your place? I would absolutely consider buying a console that turned into a robot and walked around my house. I'd be okay with that. Yeah. We got another one here from OMG Turtle. Says, hey guys, it's been in the news today. The first 2 hours of Death Stranding has been shown off to Guerrilla Games, but Kojima Productions' head of marketing communications, Saito has made it clear the game is not complete. To me, that says it's not the game that isn't complete, but even the first 2 hours that aren't complete. Otherwise, why say it? The game was announced in 2015, and since then, the messaging has been all wrong about it. We've seen multiple gameplay demos and trailers about it, and to me at least, the hype has died. And it's not really a game I care about anymore. I don't care anymore about what this game is because it doesn't look like anything. It looks like Kojima had a great idea for a dystopian world but can't back it up with anything. Take the name Hideo Kojima away and all that looks like are tech demos to show water effects and ultra 4K mud splashing physics. I'm just wondering, even if a story trailer is released to provide context to the game, how is this marketed to the casual audience or even some of the hardcore audience? I feel like if you remove a Hideo Kojima game splash screen, all that's left is a weird-looking game with Norman Reedus. But not a fun weird, a boring weird. Thanks for everything you do. Loving all the changes. OMG Turtles. What are your thoughts on that?
You crazy OMG Turtles.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I can relate to you on a couple levels where it's like, yeah, at this point, this game, we don't know what it is. And it could end up being a really boring game because if there's not gameplay to back it up. But as we talked about yesterday on the Kind of Funny Games cast, that's going to go live later this week. So Patreon users. Metal Gear Solid 5. In my opinion, was the worst story and world we've ever had in a Metal Gear Solid game, but it was by far the best gameplay we've ever had. I feel and truly believe that going forward, Kojima is, if anything, his games are going to have great gameplay. The story's probably going to be batshit bonkers, and the world's going to be weird as hell, but with a world that looks this beautiful and showing like with how amazing Metal Gear Solid 5 looked with the Fox engine,
mm-hmm.
and then going over to now what we've seen with this engine already with Horizon, man, there's going to be some spectacle going on, and with all the weird mud shit and all that stuff, it reminds me of, when you're talking about the boring shit, how everyone feels, not everyone, most people feel, let me take that back, some people feel about Red Dead Redemption 2, where it's like you're in this world,
mm-hmm.
and it can be boring, but some people find it completely enthralling, and I feel like that's what we're going to get from Death Stranding, but with gameplay that's super, super strong to back it up.
I really hope it's just Guillermo del Toro running around Fultoning people from Metal Gear 5.
Like,
was there ever anything more fun than tying balloons to people and shooting them up into the clouds?
I love it, man.
That
resources.
It's just like, you know what?
Send them back to your house to do work for you.
It was the best game of SimCity I ever played.
But the thing here about the marketing to casual audience or even the hardcore audience, that's always been an issue. And I've always been surprised that Metal Gear Solid games do as well as they do the further they go on, because mm-hmm. they do just get fucking crazy and weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Kojima's a name, and especially when you add on all the actors and actresses that are in this game, I'm sure there's more that we don't know about.
Yeah.
That is the marketing. That is the thing to get people interested, and it's also just kind of that the hardcore cult following of the hardcore people are going to play this game, or at least be interested enough to decide if it's right for them or not. But this is going to be a video game tentpole experience.
Yeah.
And I feel like that alone is exciting enough to the casual people to be like, what's going on over there?
That's another reason I think it may be a launch title and built around that is to be like, whoa, have you heard of this Death Stranding game? It's crazy, and there's mud, and there's Norman Reedus and a fetus baby and space monsters and strings or something. I don't even know. The other bet that I think ought to be pointed out is that Metal Gear, I think, has largely succeeded on the fact that it's the G.I. Joe game that we never got. Like, there's never been the great G.I. Joe game. And smarter people than me have pointed out Metal Gear is really just G.I. Joe with like, great actors. That next letter is for later. Don't worry about that. So I think that has helped its wide-scale appeal. It's just like, oh, yeah, I totally understand ninjas and ridiculous people in costumes with machine guns running around. Death Stranding, I suspect, will have a marketing arc that we haven't seen yet as it gets closer to release that will interpret it for people in a very exciting way. Mm. Number four on the Roper Report, the most pivotal of all today's items, I think. Tim Geddes, Betty White is 97 years old today.
Betty White is 97.
How's that gaming?
Years old today.
That is.
Here's what's written on the sheet by me. This has nothing to do with video games. But let's just take this in for a second.
Betty White's been Betty White video games.
You know what? I looked up. I couldn't find a Betty White video
game. Oh, really?
Yeah, I've searched for a Betty White video game. I tried to find something. Well, I could not find a Betty White
fact,
video game.
Little known fact, okay? I played Sid Meier's Pirates, and I made my pirate Betty North.
Betty White. Fuck, there you go.
I read North on the goddamn thing.
Fuck?
Hey, I'm tired, man.
You know what? It's all right. Tim's sleepy here.
So, Tim, that's the latest in the Betty White
Betty
news.
White goes
but
streaking?
Betty White doesn't have anything what? To do with... Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, this is that's this is some, like, morning show stuff right here.
Yeah?
You've never seen this?
No.
Okay, yeah, that's a whole other can of worms.
Mm. She went streaking?
That's what it says.
But, yeah, that's it's a, she's talking right. about going streaking.
What's happening in the show?
Ladies and gentlemen, Betty White has nothing to do with gaming. Tim, if I wanted to know... all about games that I could be playing right now that have nothing to do with Betty White and everything to do with our favorite hobby. Mm-hmm. Where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Alvastia Chronicles for Xbox One, not to be confused with the previous release, Alta Vista Chronicles.
Mm.
Hell Warders for Xbox One and Switch. Kingdom of Blades for PS4, Ask Divine Hearts 2 for Switch. I can't make this stuff up. Y2K, a postmodern RPG for PS4, Switch, and PC. Greg Miller talks about that on an upcoming Gamescast.
Yeah.
Or some people listened to it yesterday. Feudal Alloy for Switch. That's my new band. Gunman Clive HD Collection for Switch. I'm intrigued by this. You ever played the Gunman Clive stuff?
No, I haven't.
Gunman Clive's interesting. It's worth a look.
What is it?
It's a side-scrolling platformer that's been around for some years. I first played it on the 3DS.
Hmm.
And especially the earlier levels are pretty darn creative. It's about a side-scrolling cowboy game. It's fun. Holy Potatoes, We're in Space for Switch. Fairy Fencer F Advent Dark Force for Switch. That's a real game.
Who names these games? Somebody tell me. Somebody get them on the phone.
Find them.
I just want to have the conversation of like, why?
I'll bet you if you reach out to the developer of Fairy Fencer F Advent Dark Force for Switch.
He'd have a real good reason and a lot of lore goes into it.
Why don't you find out? I mean, you could do this. You, this within your power. Also, let's not forget Tim Geddes.
Yes.
You know, funny game names on games can sometimes be great. We had a one long discussion, again, an upcoming Gamescast, but Ding Dong XL, the new craze that's
Ding Dong XL. But see, that like they know what they're doing.
That game has game. Like, that's a good game.
Yo, Ding Dong XL, stop sleeping, everybody. Get it on your mobile device now.
Yep.
It's playing it right now.
It's a fun
game.
It's
fantastic, man. I was playing last night.
It gets a hold of you. Let's see. Mega Mall Story for Switch. Crazy Strike Bowling EX for Switch. Bedtime Blues for Switch. Left, Right, : The Mansion for Switch. And Build a Bridge, that's an exclamation point at the end, for Switch.
Bedtime Blues.
Bedtime Blues.
Yeah.
Sounds dirty.
Sounds boring.
Yeah, that sounds boring to you?
What the hell is Bedtime Blues? I'm looking it up.
You looking
it
up right
can
now?
You look it up?
You don't want Bedtime Blues, guys.
Can you look it up?
So I'm looking up the Bedtime Blues? That's just a whole kind of like unfunny morning show vibe going on with you and I this morning. Like,
it's what we do.
Are there less fucks given today than normal?
Is that it's not about that. Here? I think it's been a long day without you, my friends.
Oh dear. Mm-hmm. I hope I can make life better for you.
Oh, no, it's a good day.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. What are we looking here with? Bedtime Blues.
Bedtime Blues.
Forever right. Entertainment.
What do we have here? Bring it up. Okay, so this does not look dirty.
Okay, this actually seems...
This looks visceral and scary. Murdery. Okay, there we are. Somebody's playing with a... Okay, there's a knife. Kev. There's a... Okay. Remember to close your eyes to get some sleep.
It's like a Five Nights at Freddy's thing, but why is it so weird and pixelated?
I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on here.
Shit, I mean, I can feel it.
Something scary is going to happen. There's a bear in the window.
Let's get away from this, man. It's spooking me out.
This is going to spook us out right here, right now.
Oh, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community for creators with more than 25,000 classes in design, business, and more. Premium membership gives you unlimited access so you can join the classes and communities that are just right for you and your new year goals. Whether you want to fuel your curiosity, creativity, or even career, Skillshare is the perfect place to keep learning and thriving in 2019. I had some questions about some After Effects things I've never done, making the intro videos and everything for Kinda Funny Day 4.0. And I use Skillshare to check out some tutorials. It was super easy, super fun. And the problem is I get addicted to this stuff. I start seeing, I'm like, ooh, that sounds cool. I'm interested in the sound design thing. Yeah. And then the next thing you know, you're learning.
I must learn! I will drink from the well of knowledge.
That's Skillshare.com. Skillshare is also super formal. Actually, it is skl.sh/ Kind of Funny Games Daily, and that's where you can start your free trial today. The first 500 people to sign up will receive a 2-month free trial. Go to skl.sh/kindoffunnygamesdaily to start your trial now. A lot of people have been tweeting at me asking what video editing program they suggest. I suggest the Adobe Creative Suite, the whole thing, Premiere for editing, Photoshop for editing photos, and Audition for doing the audio editing and all that. And you can learn how to do all that stuff using Skillshare. skl.sh/kindoffunnygamesdaily.
I know it's going to be a surprise to everyone, but I grew up playing tabletop role-playing games, which I started playing when I was like 8 or 9 years old with friends.
For real?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe, right? Playing the Dungeons & Dragons. Actually, my first game ever, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Other Strangeness by Palladium Books. Awesome role-playing game.
Huh. And Other Strangers?
And Other Strangeness. Strangeness. Because you can play other mutant animals as well as turtles. That was a fun game. Yeah. Anyway. Back in that one of the earliest games I ever played, there was a scenario where we came upon the fountain of knowledge, and there was this water that you could drink from, and it would bring you knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, I love that. And there was like a ewer next to the fountain that you could like pour water out and drink. A ewer, like newer, like a pitcher.
It's the word of the day.
Pitcher, dude.
Huh? Listen here. Read a book. Read a book.
All just right. Say pitcher, dude.
There we are.
Kevin over there ding-dong excelling it up.
Yeah, all right.
It's like, I'm sophisticated and stuff. Strange things are afoot at the Circle K. Anyway, so I was greedy and I didn't drink out of the pitcher. I drank out of the fountain because I just loved the knowledge so much.
You just went straight in?
And I fell right in and I drowned in knowledge.
My God.
Yeah.
The Jared Petty story. And here we are. That's his origin story.
I was pretty happy about it. Let's talk about some reader mail here. This from The Nanobiologist. Hey guys, Kingdom Hearts 3 is releasing the secret ending and epilogue as Day 2 and 3 patches. Is this the next stage of Day 1 launch window patches, releasing the ending? Think if Red Dead 2 released the epilogues later than at release. Could this be an issue for people with bad internet connections? Yes. And want to experience the full story? Nomura stated these cutscenes do contain vital information pertinent to the lore of Kingdom Hearts. Also, please note that the secret endings are usually concept trailers for the next Kingdom Hearts game. I would love to hear your thoughts on all of this. May your heart be your guiding key. The Nanobiologist.
It's very bizarre, and here's why. If this were to come out a month later, that'd make a little bit more sense to me. No one's beating the game day one. You know what I mean?
Well,
so it's like if this is trying to like prevent people from spoiling the ending, it's like you'd think they'd release it a bit later.
Didn't the game leak, though?
Without the ending.
Without the ending. I mean, maybe that's why that's the why connection
they did
is?
This, yeah. They did this to not have the ending be able to be spoiled by people playing it. But it's like putting this out the day the game comes out.
Yeah.
I that just seems weird to me.
It's a hard one for me to get my head around. I obviously, I understand people want to protect story, and I appreciate, particularly in Kingdom Hearts, that spoilage is a huge issue, and that folks want to be insulated from that. But I think that allowing this to become common practice and accepting it could lead to some pretty shaky, skeezy stuff down the road where pieces of games could be chopped off and like, oh no, that's the ending. That's not part of the DLC is already
still waiting for Metal Gear Solid 5's.
So yeah, it's already such a fragmentary thing. You know, just taking fragmentary another
passage.
Oh, there we go. 9. Oh, well, I love you so much.
Yeah. It is.
So I think this sets a precedent that I'm not particularly comfortable with, to be frank with you.
It's just a video.
Huh?
It's just a video.
Yeah,
I get that it like could
but
be
to
more,
them, it's but not just a video. To the fans, this is not just a video.
But that's the
video.
Other thing that's weird about this. It's like, okay, great. This is going to be on YouTube the next day. That day. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
But at least it wasn't on YouTube beforehand.
No, that's cool. I get that. But I feel like if they cared then, why don't they care? If they cared for it leaking, why do they not care for when millions of people are going to have it? You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. I'm also thinking about some, you know, kid in Wyoming that's just waiting for the ending of this game to load for 20 hours so they can finally see the end cutscene.
Yeah, but the game's probably going to be more than 20 hours to play through. So he's
probably set. Yeah, that's true. It is like 600 hours long, right?
We'll see. I don't know.
We'll see. I don't know.
I just think that there's a lot of weird shit about this because I don't understand the reasoning behind it. And because I feel like the answer is to not spoil, but it's going to get spoiled so quickly. And I know at some point, everything's going to get spoiled because when is the solution? When would I want it? A month later? A week later? I don't know.
Tim Getty, spoil something for us right now.
No.
No? You're not going to do it? Not going to spoil on demand?
I don't do that.
You don't do it at all?
I don't spoil here. Kind of funny.
Oh, man.
It's a fact.
Oh, wow.
Especially not World of Light on Gamescast. I apologize for that.
Yeah. Brian from Seattle says, I'm not sure if I'm missing something, but did Sony's Shadow Drop crossplay on Rocket League today? I got an email about it, but I'm not seeing it reported on any major blogs yet. Well, Brian, 2 days ago, Kotaku's Ethan Gack recorded Rocket League now has crossplay across all consoles.
We reported this.
And we reported this. So that's the answer there. So yeah, there you go, Brian. That's
cool stuff, man.
Turns out it's there. Then from Mad Dog, Nick 96.
Mad Dog Nick 96.
From Massachusetts. Mm-hmm, I love that added in the parentheses. Good day, Jared and Tim. This may sound like a dumb question, but on the topic of game preservation, why don't companies legally sell an emulator? I know emulation groups would scoff at the idea, but what if Nintendo just sold an emulator on multiple platforms? I'm sure there's legal reasons and business practices that would say this is bad, but at the end of the day, this would make tons of gamers happy, I think. I'm only talking about older consoles, by the way, like an NES emulator, an SNES, or a Game Boy. Is this a dumb idea or not? I'd love to know. Have a great day. Mad Dog Nick 96. P.S. Jared, you're a fabulous person and an awesome game show host. Thank you.
It's true. Debatable. Check it out after the show.
It's debatable that I'm an awesome game show host.
So the idea here would be essentially a virtual console on the other systems.
I think that, yeah, what he's saying is why not just sell a software emulator package that can work cross-platform, can work on PC, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that I think you run into about 20 different things here. First off, let's talk about the legality of emulators. Unless an emulator is using a trademarked or a copywritten ROM bias, emulators are not illegal. There's plenty of legal precedent for that. An emulator itself that emulates hardware is in no way, shape, or form illegal. That's been well protected and well proven. So you can sell or give away emulators without restriction, so long as they do not contain proprietary BIOS code. Now, some emulators require you to take things off a BIOS chip. Let's say you want to emulate an old Macintosh, for example. The Macintosh had a BIOS chip that had some certain copywritten code in it. If you want to use it, you can write the emulator, but it won't work unless you plug that code in. And technically, 1980s era Apple owns that code.
Yeah, if I had a nickel for every time that I was trying to emulate a 19 whatever Macintosh.
Yeah, but it does. I'm pulling one example out, but there are more recent examples, obviously. So that becomes an issue. It's the ROMs that are the legal problem. The fact of the matter is that a lot of legality around these things has never been fully tested because nobody particularly wants to. But it's pretty clear that you're not supposed to just grab ROMs off the internet for games you don't own and play them. That's not something that was ever intended by the developer of copywritten software. So you can make the emulator. Nintendo could do this, but Nintendo's found it, in my opinion, more profitable to package their own emulator
and sell ROMs.
And then sell the ROMs in the NES Classic, the SNES Classic, Virtual Console, on disc for things like Super Mario All-Stars for Wii, etc. And other companies have followed suit. However, I do love the idea of just being able to buy an NES emulator for another platform. Do you remember Bleem, Tim?
Bleem.
Yeah.
On Dreamcast?
There was a Dreamcast version. The one I'm thinking of is a PC one.
I had the Dreamcast.
Bleem was okay, can you tell people about the wonders of Bleem?
Wasn't it just an emulator? Like you could play emulators on Dreamcast?
It allowed you to play PlayStation games. It was an emulator on a disc that lets you play PlayStation games on other hardware. So this has been done.
There's so much weird mod chips and stuff. Like that, what an era we went through there.
But Bleem wasn't made by Sony. Mm-hmm. It was somebody else doing it. Mm-hmm. But Sony could totally just be like, yeah, we'll create a software emulator for the PS1 and sell it so you can play PS1 games on your Xbox One. We can do that if we want to.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But I mean, why wouldn't they just put the first party games on those systems? I think it's the same thing.
Yeah. Right?
Like they just wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I think it's a matter of where they think the money's going to be. Mm-hmm. Since emulators are generally legal. No, you can't just take somebody else's emulator and sell it unless it's some emulators are open source and they have certain restrictions about how they're distributed. A lot of times you can distribute them freely, but there are still rules under the GPL about which other emulators are commercial. People sell emulators. That's totally legal. Mm-hmm. If I wrote an emulator, I could choose to sell it. It's no problem as long as I don't sell ROMs.
What would you emulate, Jared?
I think that if I were going to try to emulate one thing, I would endeavor to create the world's most flawless Sega Saturn emulator.
Man, a tall order.
Yeah.
Tall order.
Which is beyond my abilities as a very terrible programmer.
Do they work these days?
I haven't gone back to it in a long time. I have a Saturn, so I don't really have to fool with it. Yeah. They made remarkable progress, but the last time I checked in, there were still plenty of issues. The problem with emulating the Saturn, do you want to explain this to folks
now? Oh, I don't know what the problem is. I just know I can never get it to work.
The Saturn is a nightmare. It has a great library, but the hardware is really weird because it was changed the last second to make it more powerful and make it more competitive with PlayStation. And what they did was they just slap more chips in it. Mm. And so the thing has a total of, it has two main coprocessors, but it has 8 different processors doing different things inside it at the same time. So you really had to code for the thing in assembly language, which is just like the little, like down at the base hardware level to make it, made it really hard to develop for. Plus it doesn't use triangles for polygons. It uses quadrilaterals. Everything else in the universe uses triangles. So when you're emulating it, you have to code Sega really weird around it. Yeah. Well, at the time that wasn't such a weird decision because that hadn't been standardized. Mm. They just bet on the wrong pony. Mm. And they bet, but like, games for the Saturn to get enough power to compete with PlayStation, they had to code an assembly, which means you have to really get down to the hardware level. And like, they might like steal some like cycles from the sound processor to run code for like a gun going off, and they might steal some cycles from like the video to do something else. They were really clever. That makes emulation a nightmare because nothing's doing just what it's supposed to. It's all hackery.
Yeah. Wow. So it's hard. That's interesting.
Yeah. So there's a fun little bit of
shout out to the PSP.
Yeah, shout out to the PSP. What, the PSP for emulation?
Yeah.
The PSP is.
PSP is the greatest Nintendo console of all time.
Yeah, you ever hear Chris Kohler talk about showing Miyamoto his PSP where he's playing Mario on it?
No.
Like, just a look on Miyamoto's face.
That's
like,
hilarious.
What is this? What is happening? Why are you showing me this, Chris?
Oh, so good.
Playing Super Mario on his PlayStation. Sent the Prophet writes, have we hit an oversaturation of live service games? Does the split of Activision and Bungie signal that games like Destiny have reached maximum saturation with gamers in line with population growth? Does Fortnite being free take a lot of time away from games, from gamers who would have invested in live service games? Does Activision look at Spider-Man and God of War and think that experiences and stories will make more than live service? Thank you for all the hard work.
I don't think so. I think that there are more gamers than there's ever been, more people playing games, more people buying games. And what that creates is different type of experiences that people are looking for. I don't think that God of War or Spider-Man and their single player focus gets in the way of people playing Destiny or Fortnite. It's in addition to or in place of, but there's somebody else that's going to be the opposite. I also think that we don't have too many live service games that take that much time of your life that aren't completely designed on a schedule that kind of permits time for other things, especially within ecosystems. We've been talking a lot on the show about Ubisoft kind of having this expertly crafted calendar of drops of content across their different games that are really trying to keep people in the Ubisoft ecosystem. So they're moving from For Honor into Assassin's Creed into Division 2. You know what I mean? And you just kind of keep going from there. Whereas Destiny's kind of just doing its thing on the side.
Counterpoint. I think there are too many live service games for the market to currently support at the levels the companies and investors wish that they would. What we regard as successful in our neck of the woods, we're just playing games, and what these folks are often led to expect from these games are two vastly different things. And I think that already we are at a point where in the current console and PC market, there are more live service games, particularly in the Division, Destiny, Fortnite kind of vein, then there are currently players able to support that market. That doesn't mean people are going to stop making them. That means they're not all going to succeed.
Yeah.
It's a much more competitive marketplace than we give it credit for. So the Division 2, things like that, they're going to do, you know, they're going to come out, but they're not all going to fly to the degree that people hope that they do. I also agree with your point,
though. I feel like we haven't seen examples of that, though, really. Anytime that they come out and they might not be great in the beginning, there's a lot of examples of that. Destiny 2, For Honor, Rainbow Six Siege. A lot of these games come out, but then over time, they get fixed and then things get added, and then you do get that solid player base.
And yet Activision was totally willing to let Destiny 2 go because it wasn't making enough money for them. I disagree. I think that what we regard as successful and what the companies making these games want from them are vastly disproportional. They want to be the next Fortnite every time they make one of these, and they're led to expect that they're going to be. And I think that is the problem. It's a disconnect between the way we think about games and the way the people funding games think about games. So what we think of as successful and sustainable is not what they do. And that would be my point there. Also, I want to agree with the point you made. The marketplace is always growing. More people are playing games than ever. Fortnite's success largely rides on the backs of 10-year-olds who were not necessarily going to be playing Destiny 2.
They're like ants.
But yeah, and so there's always new players coming in.
That's like ants.
I also think that the success of God of War and other games like that has led people in major publishers to take second looks at single-player games.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that there's money to be made there. But single player games are not sexy. They don't help you move up from vice president to executive vice president. They are reliable money makers, and that's not what gets you promoted. You want to be the one that is perceived as hitting the ball out of the park, exceeding expectations. Mm-hmm. And the high risk, high reward world of live service games mm-hmm. is much more appealing to a lot of people for that reason.
It's true.
Moving on to the next page, because I forgot to turn mine.
It's time to squat up, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all ready for this?
No? All right.
You reading this one?
Oh, you can go for it.
No, go. After
okay, Matthew on the PlayStation 4. His PSN name is Afro_Mop. That's AFRO_Mop. Says, looking for some kind of funny best friends to play some Destiny 2 with. I'm so close to the platinum and only need to complete the Leviathan and do a prestige run to earn it. I main Warlock and I'm at 615 power. Cheers. Go help out, Matthew, man. Afro_Mop. Try and get that platinum. Make Greg Miller proud.
Absolutely. Also, mm-hmm. you know, the way to get your mail. People are sometimes ask, hey, how do you get my mail read? On days that I'm on, it's to mention me in favorable terms. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people are aware of that.
Control F's his name.
Yeah, so I definitely control F my name, looking through the spreadsheet there. But notice he added this little column right here on the end. Would you please read that, Tim?
Yes, with the recent Unpopular Opinions episode of the Counterfeiting Gamescast being my favorite episode, I think Jared should be allowed a hot take of the day. Take that beautiful bastard down a peg on the reg. Oh my God, I loved that. And remind him who the champ really is, Greg. Stupid idea, I know, but hey, I tried. Thanks and much love. It's a fantastic idea. I'm all about it. Jared Petty, what is your hot take of the day?
Hot take of the day. This is the one I didn't really get to on that Gamescast episode, which, excited. By the way, was a fun episode.
One of the best episodes we've ever done.
Yeah,
it was a ball. And you can check it out now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Wow, what a great episode with twists and turns you won't see coming.
The mastermind behind it all.
It's like the M. Night Shyamalan of Kind of Funny Gamescast.
My argument that I didn't get to make on the show there, Wii and DS saved us from the darkest gaming timeline. Wii and DS were, in fact, the saviors of true, pure gaming in that generation. That's right.
We ended that episode with me being so mad at you with your stupid list of Wii games.
Well, that was in the post show, so most people, I think, didn't get
okay,
to see
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, yeah. They can if they're Patreon silver members.
And I didn't get nearly to the bottom of that list.
I'm well aware, but you proved my point within the first three games.
Well, I didn't prioritize them from best to worst. Okay. Like, it was nothing like that.
I didn't.
All right,
top three best Wii games, go.
Mario Galaxy, Mario Galaxy 2, Twilight Princess.
Yeah. You're right.
I mean, that's easy.
What about 4, 5, and 6?
Yeah, that's plenty of.
All Wii games are bad because they don't hold up because the controls are bad.
Not true. Mario Galaxy's awesome.
Yeah, controls are...
The Waggle's not bad, man.
Dude, the Waggle's great.
Have you played that in the last 2 years?
Huh? Yeah, absolutely. I still have my Wii plugged in. What are you talking about?
It's Jared Petty, dude.
Yeah, you're talking about the Wii controller... Absolutely spectacular. Loved it. Thought it was innovative, brilliant. Where they have a harder time holding up is something that worked in their favor, you know, 13 years ago when they came out, is that they're all in 480p. And that does hurt them now when you look at them. You're like, wow, these are really primitive. But at the time, that was a tremendous asset. It kept the console much cheaper than its competitors, which meant it got into more hands earlier on. Most people didn't have HDTVs the first couple of years that Wii was out and really on fire. And that, again, it didn't matter to folks. Again, they have a lower price point. And most importantly, it made games much, much cheaper to develop for the thing, which meant you got a lot of shovelware, but also got a lot of that really cool, innovative, like PS1 era experimental software that only showed, you know, that's the birthplace like Muramasa, for crying out loud. That, you know, the games would have never gotten made anywhere else, got made on Wii. But my argument here, very simply, is that in a generation where both the PS3 and the Xbox 360 prior to launch were largely being positioned as living room lifestyle centers, kind of the way the Xbox One was this generation until, you know, it wasn't anymore suddenly when that flopped horribly. Wii was a pure game machine. It was cheap. It was simple. It was designed to play games on. It didn't even play DVDs. It had one purpose. It was not connected with online focus. It was just about, here's a place to come play great games. DS had same strengths. And this is the other part, is I'm throwing DS in there too.
DS, I get.
Same strength. DS, my favorite game library of any dedicated hardware platform.
That, my thing is, I don't agree with that, but I understand the argument. Yeah. I can, like, that's just an opinion thing. Yeah. Whereas with the Wii, I feel like you're crazy to say that.
I was able to make a list of 70 games. You made a list of the games that
came out on the Wii.
No, I didn't. I made a list of the good games.
Here's my thing. It's like you made a list of games that, even let's just say they're good, I'll take that. But what I'm saying is the Wii has the weakest lineup of amazing games than the Nintendo consoles that we've seen. Even N64, I think, has more amazing games than the Wii does.
Oh my God, we're gonna fight this out on Gamescast or something. We gotta find the right place to do it.
Do you see what I'm saying, though?
Like, do you want me to bring my list back up?
I don't need the list. Like, off the top of your head, it's like
list, how many? Like, you said list.
All what? I want to ask is WarioWare on that list?
WarioWare Smooth Moves?
Yeah.
Let's see. Smooth Moves is the first. Oh yeah, that game is great. Are you talking about the Hot Potato Mode in WarioWare? Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Now, which wouldn't have been possible without the controller. You were just like bemoaning. Yes, it is the best WarioWare game. There has never been
the best WarioWare game was a 3DS.
You get 10 people in a room with WarioWare. What, the new one? Yeah, the new one is really great. Okay,
that's the new one.
The new one's incredible. The new one is incredible. That's true.
It's the Smash Bros. Ultimate.
WarioWare Gold is incredible. He's right.
Uh-huh.
But 10 people in a room playing Hot Potato Mode with that one controller in WarioWare is one of the best gaming experiences I've ever had. Fantastic. All right, you know what? We'll continue this argument some other day, because we gotta move on to You're Wrong. By the way, my opinion is not subject to your wrong reading.
It sure is. Go in there and put it in, guys.
That's an opinion I expressed.
And it's wrong. Tell him.
All right, what do we got, Tim?
Here we go. What are we wrong about today? Let's get into this. There's a lot of bullshit in here, guys. You need to clean up your acts. King Franchise 88 says, did you guys talk about Persona 5 coming to Switch that just got announced on Atlas's Twitter?
What? No fucking way.
Kev, can you pull it up?
All right.
No. I mean,
Yes.
We knew it was happening.
Yeah, I know, true. But like,
this is the happiest I have been in a long time.
What am I looking at? Atlas?
Atlas.
Give me a little bit more.
Atlas US, USA. US.
There we go.
USA. What?
I don't
see it. Where is this?
That's fake.
What?
Wait, where?
Oh, you just got Rickrolled, Jared. I'm so sorry.
Did I?
I'm so sorry.
Someone's been doing that.
We gotta fucking figure this shit out, man.
Not cool. All right, we can't get excited with
come
news
on,
anymore.
Man.
Damn.
Do
you see this?
I'm so sorry, Jared.
Do you see what you did to me?
He didn't.
Do you see what you did to me?
I had like a heart attack.
I woke up feeling so good this morning.
Hold on.
For the rest
Greg
of my
Miller's
day,
calling.
I'm going to kick
Hello?
Puppies.
Greg Miller? Yeah. Give me 1 second. You are now on speaker, Greg Miller.
Hey everybody, it's Greg Miller watching Kinda Funny Games Daily Live along with you. And I just wanted to say, it's official. Next week, You're Wrong moves to patreon.com/kindafunnygames. I hope you had fun, you fucking idiot. You're done.
Thank you, Greg. Have fun in New York. Good luck.
Bye.
I feel like I just learned that God is dead.
That was bad, man.
Yeah, that hurt.
Wow.
That really hurt.
Wow.
We just got...
This feels like a terrorist attack on our beautiful country.
That actually seems like an overstatement.
Is that too much?
That's a bridge too far. Okay. Yeah, a bridge too
I just
far.
Want to remind the chat watching live right now on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygame to type in #aftercharge to possibly get a code for aftercharge.
So
you could also play with Andy Cortez this
He's
Saturday.
A beautiful boy. Let's see what else we got here that's not total fucking bullshit. The nanobiologist says World of Warcraft has several times caused a reinstall due to file restructuring or shrinking of files. Thank you for that.
Say World of Warcraft?
Did I not say that?
No, I'm just saying fucking nerds, you know what I mean?
I'm done. You broke me. Why would you do that?
Sweet, sweet
Tim's Tremendous Tummy says, revealed at MK11 stream, the Link is a playable character in the Switch version of Mortal Kombat.
I don't believe anything anymore.
You fucking assholes!
I don't believe anything.
I hate all of you! Not all of you, just a couple of you.
I think it's just one dude. And honestly, it's funny.
No,
it's getting all these nerds worked up.
Yeah. Nanobiologist says, you said a fragmentary passage was 2.9. It was actually 0.2 and was on the 2.8 final chapter prologue game. Greg Miller's calling again.
Oh, Greg Miller's back.
Hello, Greg, you're on speaker.
So what I'm saying is, here's the way I've had to do it as it's been a thing this week. It's just, don't only read things that are about what you got wrong. Don't, you can't believe anymore this got announced, this broke by. It's like, hey, you said it was 15, it's actually 17. That's the way you're wrong, you're allowed. You
gotcha.
Can't trust names anymore. There's parallel universe Zygers crossing over. No one knows what's happening.
There's so many Zygers evil in the you're wrong right now. All right, thank you.
If you weren't wrong, it was a perfect show.
All right, bye.
Ladies and gentlemen. You know what? We're done. We're done with this. They've lost their privileges today.
Yeah, there's nothing here.
Yeah, all right. Look, those of you that were sending actual your wrongs, we appreciate it. The rest of you, I just, you know what?
You're monsters, but you got them.
Kind of Funny Games Daily continues tomorrow, maybe, if I don't burn the set down first. Andrea will be here along with Tim. He's a good guy. She's a good gal. You're going to enjoy it. You've all disappointed me.
You're not a good person. You know who you are.
I'm dead inside.
Damn.
You see what happened?
It's going to happen, though, Jared. It's okay. March.
March?
March.
You're crazy, dude.
I've been hoping. P4G and P5, I want to see them on Switch, both. All right. Nobody got to play P4G, and they deserve to. Tim Geddes, until next time, it was a pleasure to serve you until the last 5 minutes of the show.